I'm Michael White, moving along the coast from the Lib Dems in Bournemouth to Brighton, where the Labour Party conference is now underway. Subdued start, I thought. Gordon Brown seemed bouncy to some, but rather lacklustre to others when he appeared on the platform in an informal way, chatted about the battle ahead on Sunday afternoon. Officials were annoyed on his behalf that he had been asked about his health and his eyesight on the Andrew Marr show on BBC TV, below the belt, they all said, so he had a wave of sympathy. Brown made his first appearance on the conference stage, with the hall just over half full, and he impressed on those present the need to take the battle to the Tories.
And this is a battle about the future. And it's not about the future of me or about the future of MPs or the future of our government. It's about the future of our country. It's the future of what we believe in. This is a battle for what we believe in. And if we believe, as we do, that we're here to advance towards a just and towards a fairer society, and if we believe, as we will prove, that the Conservatives would take us backwards to the years we thought we had left in the recession of the 1980s and 90s, then we are the party fighting for the future, fighting for what we believe in, fighting for the British people. That is what our fight is about. It is a fight for our values and a fight for the British people's values, and let's win that fight.
Brown's no stranger to relaunches and fightbacks, of course, and with this conference he aims to cement in the public mind his role in averting a total meltdown of both Britain and the global banking system. He's often at his best, you feel, when he's every grounds to be miserable and his back is to the wall. The Guardian's political editor is Patrick Winter, who travelled with him both to the UN in New York and to the G20 in Pittsburgh, just back too.
Well, today we've seen the start of what's supposed to be Labour's Operation Fight Back. They're openly saying that they are the underdogs, but they can still win the next election. And what we're beginning to see is a kind of a rhetorical sort of ramping up of the attack on bankers, because they're going to be much tougher on this issue of bonuses. They're going to call in the bankers, say that now that there's been an agreement at the G20 in Pittsburgh, that there can be a collective approach on this, that they will tell the bankers that not only will there be changes in terms of law, but there will be an expectation that there will not be big bonuses paid out this Christmas. They're going to be reminded that the bankers are only still in work because of the fact that they've been given very large public subsidies, and that there is no justification for a further round of bonuses. So they're slightly changing the rhetoric from saying it's not just about the fact that the bonus structure was wrong, that it was too orientated towards risk. They're actually starting to say the level of bonuses is too high. And I think that's a measure of the desperation Labour's in, that they're trying to find some purchase on the public mind to try and convince them that they are in some ways on the centre ground, on the side of what Labour describes as the squeezed middle, and that the Tories remain traditionally the party of the rich.
Patrick Winter there. Every poll and nearly every pundit is predicting that this will be Labour's last conference in government for a very long time, and we're told that the grassroots of the party is demoralised too, that the leadership has, in the words of Alistair Darling, who doesn't normally make a fuss, lost the will to live like some failing football team. So is it true? We asked some Labour delegates as they arrived.
I think everybody knows that we've got a fight on our hands, and I think everybody's absolutely up for it, because the dividing line with the Tories, it just becomes clearer by the day.
Which is?
They called it wrong on how to stage the economic recovery. The biggest question that's faced this country for years and years and years, and they got it absolutely wrong, and we got it absolutely right.
But they'd have spent money too if they'd been in government. They only said that because they were in opposition, didn't they?
Well, what kind of a way is that to try and run a country?
I remember a bloke called Gordon Brown in opposition who was quite nimble, you know.
He's nimble still.
I think it's... what is important is that we come out of this election on a war footing, if you like, if we come out of here actually determined to fight and to win the election campaign. I think a lot of MPs across the board are incredibly tired. You know, I'm the MP for Bristol East, and it was quite a draining period in the run-up to recess, because she had all the stuff about expenses, but also as you get towards the end of a four years in government.
Years.
Sorry, 12 years in government. You know, there is time when, you know, and particularly when you're behind in the polls, it would be it's understandable the fact that morale might perhaps sort of drop a little bit. But what I've seen since I've come to conference is that there still is you know, most of the party activists are out there are still convinced that we can win the general election if we come out fighting. And that's what, if we leave this conference sort of business as usual, we're not going to win the next election. But if we can actually use this as a way of raising our game and everyone making that contribution. And it's got to be a team effort. It's not all just about whether Gordon Brown can make the speech of a lifetime on Tuesday. It's not about individuals. It's about absolutely everybody.
Well, I think Alistair used strong language to be able to make a rallying cry, really. So you have to paint things as bad as they possibly can be to talk about how much better they can be. So what he wanted us to do, is, if I remember the rest of the article, was to pull together and come out fighting like a team that's predicted to lose the FA Cup final and actually put on a shock.
Stephen Twigg used to be an MP, defeated Michael Portillo in 1997, one of the high points of the 90s. He's back. He's got what he hopes is a safe seat, I think.
I'm taking nothing for granted, but I'm hoping so, yes.
Which one is it?
West Derby in Liverpool.
Sounds all right to me, but you can take nothing for granted. Is Alistair Darling right to say that members of the government are behaving like a football team which has lost the will to live? He's not a man given to colourful phrases unless he feels it strongly.
I think he's reflecting a view that's held in the party. People want the government to land some punches on the Tories.
How would you do that if you had Gordon Brown's ear?
I think it's about complete focus on the achievements that Gordon Brown's delivered, particularly on the economy. That's got to be the strongest point.
Well, you've been out of Parliament for several years. You've got a sense of perspective back. How much is he going to be blamed for the recession before the recovery? Because he may have done well, many people think he has, on the policies designed to get us off the rocks. But fact is, a lot of people blame him even more than the bankers, some of them, for what happened.
I think people blame the bankers more, but I do think you've got a good point. I think part of his story has to be acknowledging past errors. It can't just be saying everything's been great for the last 12 and a half years. And I think that applies in other areas of policy, not just the economy.
Stephen Twigg at the end there. In the main hall, meanwhile, Ed Miliband, the climate change secretary, was among the first senior ministers to address the conference in the graveyard slot that is Sunday afternoon. Some in the party are touting the younger Miliband, that's the foreign secretary's little brother, as the eventual successor, if not to Brown, then to whoever is left holding the baby when they lose the election. His speech was certainly well received, and I thought much better delivered, much more panache than last year. Something going on there. Afterwards, he spoke to The Guardian's John Harris.
I've got absolute fight in me. We're in the fight of our lives with the Conservative Party. We know that, but it's a fight we can win, and we can win because we have a better vision of society, a vision which will be better for more people in Britain, and actually their alternative is not something people want to go back to, because it is about going back. It's about going back to what failed people in the 1980s, and we need to make that clear.
Do you think they're in danger of losing their will to live?
I don't, actually. I actually think the Labour Party members have kept the faith, and they think we're right and we can win, and they're right.
Forward to victory.
Exactly.
Earlier, I bumped into Paul Richards, a former special advisor to assorted ministers, including Hazel Blears until her rapid departure from the Cabinet last spring, a veteran too of many Labour conferences, now a blogger and a columnist. I asked Paul what the party's got to do this week to put it right.
Well, this is my 19th conference, and I've never seen the bar so empty. I think a lot of delegates have decided not to come. I think they'll save their money for leaflets come the election.
Aren't you meant to be saying they took notice of your advice in the health department not to drink too much?
Well, possibly that too, but also, of course, a lot of MPs aren't here either. And given so many of them are standing down, they've just decided to have the week off, I think.
When somebody as calm and placid as Alistair Darling says we're behaving like a football team on the slide and we've lost the will to live, it's a pretty bad sign, isn't it, Paul?
Well, I think that the issue is that this is supposed to be the fight-back conference, but you can't fight back without ammunition, and unfortunately a lot of the leaders of the party seem to be firing in their own feet, and I would put Darling in that category. Prescott's comments about Harman were less than helpful. Hayne has said that we're lacking the requisite fight, etc. So we just need a bit of focus, really. I think they're all sort of trying to get that little bit of space, but actually they need to shut up and get on with leading the party.
So what would you do if you were telling them how to approach this conference? What should they be saying in all these interviews?
I think it's very simple. We need about 8 or 12 eye-catching, easy-to-understand and easy-to-sell policies, a bit like the stuff that Andy Burnham's done around cancer referrals, which activists can take to the doorsteps and sell to people, cut through the cynicism and cut through all this nonsense about fiscal deficits and quantitative easing and all this jargon. People don't care what happens at the G20, they care what happens in their state and in their high street, and we're not cutting through in that way.
Paul Richards there. Well, today's big speaker, if I can put it this way, is the determinedly anti-charismatic Alistair Darling, Chancellor of the Exchequer. Darling's kept his nerve these last 2 years in two ways which are important. One is, with the banking system in near meltdown, he was absolutely unflappable. He doesn't get emotional. He didn't get emotional. Equally important from his own point of view, when Gordon Brown tried to push him out of the number 11 Downing Street last summer, he said, "Gordon, you can choose whoever you want to be Chancellor, but I do not want another job in government." In other words, he said, "You can sack me, but you can't move me." He called Brown's bluff and is stronger for it. He's been instrumental in suggesting that maybe Brown should be more frank, more open about the spending cut pressures ahead, use the famous C word. So who knows? Alistair Darling may give us an absolute showstopper of a speech today. No, I don't believe it either.